to start out with, for actually three different passages of Scripture. So first of all, if you would, turn over to 1 Corinthians chapter 3, and then we're going to go to Ephesians chapter 4, and then we're going to go to Hebrews chapter 5. Read several verses from each passage. 1 Corinthians chapter 3, and we'll read verses 1 through 4, start out with. 1 Corinthians chapter 3, verses 1 through 4. I'm guessing that by the time I read these three passages of Scripture, that you'll all figure out what I'm going to preach on today. Okay? Let's see if you can. All right. 1 Corinthians chapter 3, verses 1 through 4. And I, brethren, could not speak unto you as unto spiritual, but as unto carnal, even as unto babes in Christ. I have fed you with milk and not with meat, for hitherto ye were not able to bear it, neither yet now are ye able. For ye are yet carnal, for whereas there is among you envying and strife, divisions, are ye not carnal and walk as men? For while one saith, I am of Paul, and another, I am of Apollos, are ye not carnal? And then turn over to Ephesians chapter 4, if you would. Ephesians chapter 4, starting with verse 11. Ephesians chapter 4, 11 through 16. And he gave some apostles, and some prophets, and some evangelists, and some pastors and teachers, for the perfecting of the saints, for the work of the ministry, for the edifying of the body of Christ, till we all come in the unity of the faith and of the knowledge of the Son of God unto a perfect man, unto the measure of the stature of the fullness of Christ, that we henceforth be no more children, tossed to and fro and carried about with every wind of doctrine, by the sleight of men and cunning craftiness, whereby they lie in wait to deceive, but speaking the truth in love, may grow up unto him in all things, which is the head, even Christ, from whom the whole body, fitly joined together and compacted by that which every joint supplieth, according to the effectual working in the measure of every part, maketh increase of the body unto the edifying of itself in love. And then turn over to Hebrews chapter 5. Hebrews chapter 5, and you're probably going to want to keep your finger, if you got three fingers, most of us got at least three fingers, in these different passages, because we're going to be referring to them as we go through the message here. Hebrews chapter 5, we'll start reading with verse 11, and we'll read through to verse 1 of chapter 6. Hebrews 5, 11. Of whom we have many things to say and hard to be uttered, seeing ye are dull of hearing. For when for the time ye ought to be teachers, ye have need that one teach you again, which be the first principles of the oracles of God, and are become such as have need of milk and not strong meat. For every one that useth milk is unskillful in the word of righteousness, for he is a babe. But strong meat belongeth to them that are full age, even those who by reason of use have their senses exercised to discern both good and evil. Therefore, leaving the principles, chapter 6, verse 1, therefore, leaving the principles of the doctrine of Christ, let us go on unto perfection, not laying again the foundation of repentance from dead works and of faith toward God. Okay, who can guess what I'm going to preach on? Anybody? I guess? Come on. Derek, you probably figured it out, haven't you? Pardon? Yeah, sort of. Okay. All right, that's close enough for now. All right, let's pray, shall we? Father, we thank you for the time that we have here together in your word. We pray that you would be our teacher and guide as we look to your word, and Lord, help us not to just be putting things in here that's our own ideas, our own will, but it's your will, Lord. We want to just preach your word correctly and truly. I pray, Lord, that you would help me to do that, and I pray that you'd help us all to have ears open to your spirit and hearts ready to receive what you have for us today. Lord, speak to us now, we pray, and do the work in each of our lives that you want to do today, we ask in Jesus' name. Amen. I heard the story of my father's brother, not Uncle Russell, but he had another brother. There were actually three boys in the family, and there was a brother between my Uncle Russell and my dad, and his name was Ursel. But Ursel had a problem. He was very, very retarded. Not only was he retarded, but he didn't grow. He finally died when he was about 20 years old. But as a 20-year-old guy, he was still about the size of an infant. It was very sad. My dad didn't like to talk about it. It was very difficult for him as a young man, as a teenager growing up, and it was a lot of the responsibility for Ursel fell on him, and he had to, you know, spend a lot of time taking care of him, and he would take him for walks in a little buggy, and the neighbor kids would laugh at him and things, you know, and that was always really hard on my dad. But it was a very sad thing. I know when Shireen and Derek were trying to figure out what the problem with Ethan was, they thought maybe there was some genetic thing there, and so they did a little research and they found out where Ursel's grave was, and it was in the grave, part of the cemetery where they just had babies. And he was just very small. He spent all his life in a crib or in a baby buggy or whatever, and wore a diaper until the day he died, and it was very sad. He never grew. I think it's a very sad thing when we see that happen. But it's also a very sad thing when we see that happen with Christians. Sometimes Christians don't grow like that. Sometimes Christians just, you know, they get saved, they're babes in Christ, and they just don't grow. And it's very sad. Very sad indeed. It's also very hard on those around them. Just as it was very hard on my father. It's hard on those, for somebody, a Christian who just doesn't grow and doesn't mature. It's hard for family members. It's hard for other people who are around them to endure their childishness, spiritual childishness. There's an Old Testament picture of maturity that I'd like to share with you. It's by most, in fact, even some songwriters have misinterpreted this wrongly. That's the land of Canaan. The land of Canaan was not is not a picture of heaven. I don't know about you, but I don't plan on fighting any battles when I get to heaven. And there were lots of battles that had to be fought in the land of Canaan, weren't there? And so the crossing of the Jordan River into the land of Canaan actually pictures the Christian in the New Testament, the wandering 40 years in the wilderness, that pictures an immature baby Christian, and then crossing the Jordan River into the land of promise pictures the mature Christian life. And it's a life of victories. Remember, they had one victory right after another. Actually, they only had one defeat. That was at Ai, a temporary defeat. But basically, it was one victory after another, and that's what happens in the life of a mature Christian. We're going to have victories, many victories in our lives. We're not going to be slaves to sin anymore. We're not going to be falling to the old sinful habits all the time anymore. We're going to have, as a rule anyway, as a general rule, we're going to have victory in our lives, spiritual victory in our lives. Now, as we look at this subject of Christian maturity, we need to look at a particular word that is used over and over again in the New Testament. That is the word perfect. Now, our Nazarene friends and some other folks who actually propagate a false doctrine would say that we can reach a point in our Christian lives of perfection when we are sinless. Okay? Well, that's just simply not true. That's not biblical. And so what then does this word perfect mean? It's used many times in regards to Christians in the New Testament. What does that mean? Well, the word actually means full age or mature. It doesn't mean without sin, okay? Because as long as we're in this flesh, we're going to have battles with sins, like Joshua had battles in the land of Canaan. But we're going to have at least in general, we're going to have victory over those in those battles. So, so as we look through these passages in Scripture that we've already read and a few others that we'll look at, we will see this word perfect used over and over again. And the word, we need to remember, the word means full age or mature or complete, okay? It doesn't actually mean sinless. we know that we are supposed to, as Christians, we're supposed to be working towards becoming more Christ-like all the time, being conformed to the image of Christ, and we understand that. In verse 13 of Hebrews 4, if you still have your fingers there, it says, "Till we all come in the unity of the faith and of the knowledge of the Son of God unto a perfect man, unto the measure of the stature of the fullness of Christ." There again, the perfect man is, it's talking about the mature man, the Christian mature individual. And it says, "unto the measure of the stature of the fullness of Christ." Now, we're never, in this flesh, we're never going to measure up to what Christ is. Do we all understand that? You know? But we're to strive toward that. We're to work toward that. Actually, the word measure there actually means a limited portion. It doesn't mean that we're ever going to attain in this flesh what Christ was or is. But it means that we will measure up to that. We will approach in this life to that. That's what he wants us to do. I think the best illustration that might be, I'll use a couple of guys here that are, let's see. Roy, do you want to come up here and help me for a minute? He's, I think, the tallest guy around here probably. How tall are you, Roy? 6'5"? 6'4", okay. Well, that'll do. Okay. Come on up here. And let's see. How about Jonathan? You want to come up here and help us? Okay. I want you to stand over here by Roy. If you would. All right. Now, obviously, Jonathan is shorter than Roy, okay? Are you planning on being as tall as Roy? You might. I mean, your dad's pretty tall. You could be, you know. It's possible, you know. You're working at it. But you're working that direction. You're growing. How old are you?
12.
You're 12. Oh, you got more growing years yet. I mean, you're going to be about that tall when you get done, okay? Pretty close to the height the Roy is. So, now, he's not as tall as Roy. He doesn't measure quite up to Roy, but he is in the process of that, isn't he? See, that's what this verse is talking about. We are in the process of growing up to be as much like Christ as we possibly can. Okay, thank you guys. I appreciate it. So, we ask ourselves a question. Well, is this optional in the Christian life? I got to tell you, it's not optional. This is the will of God for our lives, folks. You know, a lot of Christians, they're always searching for what the will, what God's will is for their life. And, oh, if I only knew what God's will is, if God would only guide me and show me what His will is. This is the will of God, that we be conformed to the image of Christ, you see. And so, we are to grow up in Christ to measure up as close as we can to the stature of the fullness of Christ. And we see that it's the will of God in so many places in Scripture. I mean, it's a direct command. In Colossians chapter 4 and verse 12, for example, it says, Epaphras, who is one of you, a servant of Christ, saluteth you, always laboring fervently for you in prayers, that ye may stand perfect, there's the word again, in other words, complete or full age, mature, and complete in all the will of God. It is the will of God that we grow to maturity, to Christ-likeness. 1 Thessalonians 4:3 says, For this is the will of God, even your sanctification. And sanctification is another word that gives us the idea of growing in Christian maturity. Okay? This is the will of God. In 2 Peter chapter 3, verse 18, for example, it says, another command here, but grow in grace and in the knowledge of our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. To Him be glory both now and forever. Amen. So this is not optional. As Christians, this is the command that we're to fulfill. This is what we're striving for, is to become mature Christians, more and more like Jesus Christ. I think we all understand that. I want to just give you two points in the message today. First of all, I want to talk about the source of maturity, and then secondly, I want to talk about the signs of maturity as compared to immaturity. Okay? So the source or means of maturity. How do we become mature Christians? What do we do in order to help us become mature Christians? Well, what we don't do, what does not help us to become mature Christians, we'll talk about that first, is more comfort does not help us to be mature Christians. Do you know that? Okay? To make your life more comfortable, that won't help you a one bit to become a mature Christian. Entertainment will not help you one bit to become a mature Christian. Video games will not help you become a mature Christian. Okay? Playing around, just goofing off, that will not help you become a mature Christian. Those are all things that are really a waste of time, and they are not going to help us become mature Christians. If we're doing the will of God, if we're striving to be more Christ-like all the time, we need to be focusing on that and leave some of these other things aside and say, man, I don't have time for that. I'm growing to be like Christ. I don't have time to mess around with that kind of stuff, see? And so, what does work then to help us to become a mature Christian in our lives? Well, the Bible tells us some things. In James chapter 1, verses 2 through 4, it says, "My brethren, count it all joy." You want to underline that, by the way. "When ye fall into divers temptations or trials," that's the word means trials, "knowing this, that the trying of your faith worketh," and there's the word again, that's not the word, I'm sorry, "patience," but that word patience, actually, and we don't really understand what that means either, it actually means endurance, okay? "The trying of your faith worketh patience," or endurance, "but let patience," or endurance, "have her perfect work, that ye may be perfect," or mature, "and entire, wanting nothing." Now, just to add emphasis to the word perfect there, or mature, James says, "and entire." In other words, the word entire means leaving nothing out. You know, as you grow to maturity, you need to make sure you don't leave anything out along the way. And wanting nothing. So, what is it that brings maturity into our Christian lives? What is James saying here? It is trials. It's hardship. Sometimes suffering. Okay? If you go across the bridge into Longview, now many of us have seen the eagle's nest up there. How many of you have seen the eagle's nest, huh? Yeah. We all watch that, don't we? Okay? We watch to see if we can see the eagle sitting up there. Every year, same thing, you know. And it's really interesting. How many of you have looked into the eagle's nest? I don't think any of us have we? You don't know what's going on in there. Well, I want to tell you what's going on in there. The mother eagle, when she builds her nest, she starts it out with broken, sharp branches, thorns, and sharp rocks, and things like that. That's how she starts her nest out. And then after she gets that all in there, she lines the nest with some nice soft fur and things she gets from animals that she's killed, and some of her own feathers and things that she's picked up. And she makes a nice, soft, comfortable bed to lay her eggs on. And she lays her eggs. And those eggs hatch. And those little hatchlings, they're nice and cozy and warm and everything, you know, down in there. And that nice, soft nest that the mother eagle has made for them. But after a while, those little eaglets begin to grow. But they still like the comfort of that nest. And they don't want to leave the nest. They don't want to do anything else but stay right there. I mean, after all, they got free food all the time brought to them. They've got all the comforts of home all around them, see? Nice and snuggly and comfortable and warm and everything. Why would they want to leave a nest like that? So what the mother does, when those little birds are big enough to fly and fend for themselves, what that mother eagle does is she begins with her strong claws, what do they call them? Talons, yeah. And she begins to pull up that fur and those feathers and throw it out. And she just, pretty soon there's nothing left in that nest except the exposed sharp rocks and thorns and just the very uncomfortable things for those little eaglets, okay? And those eaglets decide, well, this is not any fun anymore. I'm going to try flying. And they do. And so, that's kind of how it is. You know, we, as baby Christians, you know, we kind of enjoy the comfort and the peace of that we've experienced in knowing Christ and having our sins forgiven and everything. But, you know, God wants us not just to sit there in that comfort zone. He wants us to get out
and become uncomfortable so that we will serve him better, so that we'll grow.
And so that's why James says in James 1:2 here, count it all joy when you fall into diverse temptations or trials.
See, you need to have a heavenly perspective on our trials and the hard things in our lives. The perspective that God is using that in our lives to grow us, to help us to become strong and better Christians and more mature Christians.
Somebody said it like this: faith like Job's cannot be shaken because it is a result of having been shaken. That makes sense? So, if you've never been shaken, if you've never had any trials in your life, chances are you're not going very much. But if you're going through some trials, some hard things in your life, you ought to say praise the Lord. It ought to bring joy into your life because, man, you're growing. God's set up the stage for you to grow as a Christian. God is trying to grow us up. That's what it's all about. The second thing that is a source or means of maturity is the Word of God. In 1 Peter chapter 2, verse 2, it says, as newborn babes desire the sincere milk of the Word, that ye may grow thereby. If a baby doesn't get its milk, it's not going to grow. And if you're a baby Christian, you need the Word of God. By the way, we all need the Word of God. And we all are in the process of growing, even if we consider ourselves a mature Christian. And we just say, let's say we show all the signs of a mature Christian, which we're going to talk about in a minute. But you know what? We're still growing. I'm 74 years old. I'm still growing. See, I'm still growing. I want to be more like Christ tomorrow than I am today. See, so it takes the Word of God to accomplish that. You show me a mature believer, and I'll show you someone who has spent much time in the Word of God. So do you have dust on your Bible? Or is your Bible pretty worn from use because you just read it a lot? So the Word of God will bring maturity in your life. Another thing is exercising our spiritual senses will also bring maturity into our lives. We read in Hebrews chapter 5 and verse 14, but strong meat belongeth to them that are of full age. And by the way, the word full age there is the same original word as the word perfect that we've read in other places. Strong meat belongeth to them that are of full age, even those who by reason of use have their senses exercised to discern both good and evil. So exercising your sense, your spiritual senses, will bring about more growth, maturity in your life. 1 Timothy 4, 7 and 8 says, but refuse profane and old wise fables, and exercise thyself rather unto godliness. For bodily exercise profiteth little, but godliness is profitable unto all things. So we need to be exercising ourselves unto more godliness. And the word godliness just simply means Christ-likeness. Okay? So, how do we do that? How do we exercise our spiritual senses? Well, as you're reading your Bible, you come across a verse or a passage, and you say, I didn't see that before. I convicted about that. I need to change how I'm doing things here. I need to get that right with God and repent and do this different. And then you pray about it. First you read it, then it affects you. You pray about it, and then you make a change in your life. What is that called? That's an exercise, you see. That's exercising your spiritual senses. And then you find another verse, and the same thing happens again. And you just keep on doing that. Keep on doing that as you read through the scriptures, and you'll find that you are exercising your spiritual senses. Also, you can exercise your spiritual senses by practicing discernment between good and evil. That's kind of what this verse is indicating to us here. And that simply means that you're going to learn from your own experiences, your own failures, your own sin. Okay, you're going to learn from that, and you're going to say, whoa, that was wrong, and I am not doing that anymore. You learn something from that, see. You're exercising, you're recognizing that that was wrong, and you're exercising yourself to make that change. Likewise, when you observe it in others, you see somebody else that has, something they've done, they've made a bad decision in their life, and they've gone against Scripture in this decision they've made, and now they're suffering the consequences from it. Man, we need to learn from that. We need to learn how to discern between good and evil in our own lives and in the lives of others so that we can learn from it. Not so that we can criticize others and condemn others and judge others, but so that we can learn from it. So this is another way that we can grow to maturity, is by exercising our spiritual senses. And then another way is by listening to pastors and preachers, pastors and teachers, okay? Ephesians chapter 4, verses 11 and 12 says, He gave some apostles and some prophets and some evangelists and some pastors and teachers, and primarily that would apply mostly for the New Testament time, this era, pastors and teachers, evangelists too, but pastors and teachers mainly. And for the perfecting of the saints. So God has given pastors and teachers to the church, and I think the word teachers and pastors is just referring to the same person. But at any rate, God has given to the church these spiritual leaders for the purpose of, verse 12, you see that? Perfecting of the saints. What does that mean? That word perfecting is another form of the same word, perfect, or of full age, or of mature, you see. So in other words, it is my job to help you to mature in the faith. You got that? Does that make sense? Amen? Amen. Okay, that's what the Bible is telling us here. And so, now, that means you got to listen. See? And you got to try and, apply what you're hearing on Sunday and Wednesday night. You got to apply those things that when I'm preaching, or when Brother Jared's preaching, or Brother Derek, or whoever's preaching, you need to apply those things to your life. And as you do that, you will find yourself becoming more mature. So another source of spiritual maturity is through the teaching and preaching from the pulpit. Now let's talk for a few moments about the signs of maturity and immaturity. Comparing the two, how do we tell if I'm mature, a mature believer or not? How do you tell if you're a mature
believer or not. So here's a test, okay? And it's based on all these scriptures that I believe are very pertinent to tell us where we are at in this level of maturity. Are we still a little baby? Are we half grown? Are we tall like Roy? Where are we at in this process of spiritual maturity? Well, first of all, the most obvious thing probably that we would think of right off is, are we walking in the fruit of the Spirit? Do we have the fruit of the Spirit in our lives? Love, joy, peace, long-suffering, gentleness, goodness, faith, meekness, temperance. Do we have those things in our life? From Galatians 5. If those things are not apparent in our lives, I think we can say that we are not spiritually mature yet. If we are, if we have a lot of problems with, for example, with meekness, and we got too much pride in us, and we're just not being humble, and we're not meek. Well, that's a sign of spiritual immaturity, and so on. But let's look at some other passages here that are signs of spiritual immaturity or maturity. In James chapter 3 and verse 2, that section on the tongue, there's quite a section in there. It describes the power of the tongue, the destructive power of the tongue, as well as the power for good of the tongue. The tongue has a lot of power to it. We need to be very careful what we say to others. So in other words, a mature believer is not going to have offensive speech. He's going to be careful about his tongue. He's going to be careful about what he says to others. James 3:2, it says, "For in many things we offend all. But if any man offend not in word, the same is a perfect man and able also to bridle the whole body." The same is a mature man. If you have learned how to bridle your tongue and say only the things that God would have you to say instead of the things that come out of your fleshly nature, then that's a sign of spiritual maturity, you see. What's another thing? Another sign of spiritual maturity is harmonious relationships. I don't know how else to put that. Good relationships. An immature believer is going to have strifeful relationships. We read from 1 Corinthians chapter 3, verse 3. "For ye are yet carnal," or immature, that's what the word means. "For ye are yet carnal, for whereas there is among you envying and strife and divisions, are ye not carnal and walk as men?" So, strife and division and all this kind of stuff, fussing and fighting with each other, that is a sign of an immature Christian. So if you have you're having some kind of an issue with somebody and you haven't resolved that issue, and that person's mad at you and you're mad at them, and I want to tell you something, somebody in that relationship is an immature Christian. That's according to the Bible. A mature Christian doesn't just leave it there. A mature Christian, if there is some kind of a disagreement or something, he'll deal with it. He will work through it until the relationship can be restored. So you need to ask yourself a question. Am I a mature Christian or not? Am I able to do that, or do I just allow these broken relationships to continue, and do I make them worse? Do I get angry and blow up at people? All these things. These are signs of immature Christians. We need to face that.
Another thing that's a sign of either a mature Christian or an immature Christian. A mature Christian is very teachable. Okay, he's got open ears and an open heart. He's ready to receive what God has for him. As opposed to an immature Christian, he cannot hear anything. He cannot absorb truth very well. Okay. He's either not willing or he's not able to receive truth to be taught. Hebrews 5:11 says, "Of whom we have many things to say and hard to be uttered, seeing ye are dull of hearing." In other words, you don't hear good. Not that you physically can't hear good, but you don't let it sink in. You're not really listening. See? You're dull of hearing. "For when for the time you ought to be teachers, you have need that one teach you again." So in other words, you've heard it once and you're going to have to hear it again because you didn't get it the first time. And you're probably not going to get it the next time because you'll have to be taught again. And you probably won't get it the next time. You'll have to be taught again. That is a sign of an immature believer. Okay? "Teach you again, which be the first principles of the oracles of God, and are become such as have need of milk and not strong meat." Again, a reference to immaturity. When I was in Bible college, one of my teachers during chapel preached a message. I don't even remember what the message was about for sure. It probably was about Christian maturity. But I remember partway through the message, he pulled out a baby bottle, stuck it out there like that, you know, the nipple pointing right at everybody. He says, "Some of you need this still, you know." And I thought about doing that today, but I said, "Nah, I won't do that." I think that might be the case sometimes. I don't know. I don't know your heart, you know. I know most of you pretty well. I think we've probably got some very mature Christians in this room. I think maybe there's some immature Christians in this room. But you need to ask yourself the question, where am I in all this? Do I still need a bottle? Or can I handle strong meat? Do I understand the scriptures? Can I grasp the things that are being taught me? Am I a good listener? Am I teachable? You see, that's a sign of a mature Christian. Another sign is, can you or can you not grasp spiritual truth? And this kind of goes along with that. But in Hebrews 5:13 it says, "For every one of you useth milk, every one of you that useth milk is unskillful in the word of righteousness, for he is a babe." Do you have trouble grasping spiritual truth? Now, there's some things, granted, that are still hard for me to understand in the scripture. Not a lot, but there are some. And I'm working on it. I'm hoping I'm growing in that. But if there's not very much spiritual truth from God's Word, very much of God's Word that you really understand deeply, you might have a problem there. You might be spiritually immature. In 1 Corinthians chapter 14, verse 20, it says, "Brethren, be not children in understanding, albeit in malice be children," or in other words, wickedness be children. Don't know all about the wickedness in this world. You don't need to know that. But in understanding be men. And again, the word men there is the same word, same original word that we've been looking at several times for the word perfect or the word mature or full age. Okay? And so we are to have understanding of the scriptures. And we're to have, by the way, we're also to have understanding of human relationships, how that works. And by the way, the scripture can teach us how to do that if we'll spend time in it. So the immature believer has trouble grasping spiritual truth. Another thing is that the immature believer will be tossed to and fro with every new thing that comes along, while the mature believer will be steadfast in his doctrine. And he will know what he believes, and he'll stand firm on it, and he will not be led astray easily. In Ephesians 4:14, it says that we henceforth be no more children, tossed to and fro, and carried about with every wind of doctrine, by the sleight of men and cunning craftiness whereby they lie in wait to deceive. And so that's one of the characteristics of an immature Christian, is every new thing that comes along, they're going to go after it. See? There are plenty of new things on the internet. There's always something new going on the internet. Some new doctrine, some new idea. Watch out. If you're not very mature, you're susceptible to those kinds of things. There was a lady that used to go to our church. And she hasn't been here for a long time now, but she has picked up on some new thing. And the new thing is this messianic Christianity thing. And it sounds sounds good on the surface, but it is. It's Jews that have accepted Christ, but they're holding on to their Jewish tradition. I mean, all the feast days and all the other junk, worshiping on Saturday and everything, it's not biblical. And they have separated themselves from what we would call Gentile believers, and they, just some new thing. And she just grabbed that up, hook, line, and sinker. What's wrong? Well, she was an immature Christian. And that's how it is with immature Christians. They will go after whatever new thing comes along. another sign of a mature Christian or an immature Christian, a mature Christian is going to be truthful in what he says. He's not going to tell lies. Or Ephesians chapter 4, verse 15 says, "But speaking the truth in love, may grow up unto him in all things, which is the head, even Christ." So the mature Christian is, the growing mature Christian is going to speak the truth. Colossians 3:9 says, "Lie not one to another, seeing that ye have put off the old man with his deeds." Not only speak the truth, but speak the truth in love. He's not only learned to always say the truth, but he has also learned that you've got to say it in the right way, in love. Which requires, in order to speak the truth in love, it requires self-examination, first of all, and it also requires your own examining your own motives. Okay? Why would you want to speak the truth to this individual? Have you all, first of all, checked yourself out, taken the beam out of your own eye before you sought to take the little sliver out of your neighbor's eye? The second thing is, why are you doing it? Why are you speaking? Why do you want to speak the truth to this individual? Is it to put him down that you might feel more superior? Or is it to build him up in the faith? You need to examine your motives. And so in Ephesians 4:16, we need to we can see that it needs to be the building up the other person in the faith. It follows right after 15 here, but speaking the truth in love, may grow up unto him in all things, which is the head, even Christ, from whom the whole body, fitly joined together and compacted by that which every joint supplieth, according to the effectual working in the measure of every part, making increase of the body unto the edifying of itself in love. So if the purpose is to build up the other person in the faith, and go for it. And it'll be real obvious that it is in love then. Then another thing that is a sign of either a mature or immature believer is can they determine right from wrong? We've already read Hebrews 15:4, but strong meat belongs to them that are full age, even those who by reason of use have their senses exercised to discern both good and evil. One of the signs of a mature Christian is he knows the difference between right and wrong. An immature believer, about half the time he'll make the wrong decision. He just doesn't know what's right and what's wrong. So this is another sign of shows you where you're at in your maturity level. Can you make good decisions about what's right and what's wrong? And then finally, another sign is the last one on my list here, is that we, as mature believers, we're going to have our love perfected. In 1 John chapter 4, verses 17 and 18, it says, "Herein is our love made perfect, that we may have boldness in the day of judgment, because as he is, so are we in this world. There is now no fear in love, but perfect love casteth out fear, because fear hath torment. He that feareth is not made perfect in love." And so, here again, the word perfect is the word full age or mature. Do we have mature love? What does that mean, mature love? Well, you know, you might have a feeling for somebody. You might like that person. You might have just a warm, fuzzy feeling for them. That's not mature love. You might enjoy being around that person, even. But that's still not mature love. What mature love is willing to lay down your life for that person. Sacrificial love. Or in other words, agape love. See, that's what mature love is. I've told you this before, but I think it's really interesting that that was almost an unheard of word before the New Testament writers came along. You know, in the pagan society of the day, they didn't know what sacrificial love was. They didn't even have a word for it. But then when the Christian writers came along, he used the word agape. And of course, it's so well defined by what our Lord Jesus Christ did for us on the cross. Sacrificial love. But God commendeth his love toward us. And while we were yet sinners, Christ died for us. So if we're going to grow to be like Christ, to the stature of Christ, as we are growing to that stature to be like Christ, we're going to have this kind of sacrificial love for one another and for others. Do you have that? That is a sign of spiritual maturity if you have that. I want to close with just this one last little illustration. There was a bodybuilder who was being interviewed on TV. The bodybuilder, he'd get up there and he had his shirt off, you know, and he'd flex his biceps, you know, big old biceps, you know, and kind of twist his arm around, and the muscles would just bulge, and, you know, he was really showing off his muscles. And he, you know, show him, turn around and show him his back, and just, you know, he's flexing all of his muscles. And the interviewer asked him, he said, what do you use those, what do you do with all that? He didn't answer, he just flexed his muscle again, showed him how, you know, showed him the muscle again. The interviewer said, well, I see that, but what are they used for? What do you do with those muscles? And he did it again. You know, showing his muscles off. And finally he said, well, I see that. The interviewer, I see that. But what I don't understand is you've got these great big muscles, but what good are they? What do you use them for? And the muscle, this muscle-bound guy, he had no answer. All I could do is show him off. I want to tell you something. Christian maturity is not so we can show it off. Okay? So we can show, man, look how good of a Christian I am. It's to be useful for God. That's the purpose of it. Let's not forget that. Don't go around bragging about how mature you are as a Christian. If you show these signs of maturity in your life, they're going to know you're a mature Christian. You don't have to be flexing your muscles. Okay? Show it off. Just be a mature Christian. You know, the rewards will come one day, but not in this life. But this is what God wants us to be. This is the will of God for our lives. Kids, listen to me. Some of you are, you're not mature yet physically and or even mentally, maybe. I don't mean that you're, you know, I probably said that wrong. But you're growing. You're growing that direction. Why you're growing physically and mentally and emotionally and all that, don't forget to grow spiritually too. God wants you to be a mature. You know, you can take a young man, just a young guy. Maybe he's a teenager. Maybe he's 18, 19, 20 years old. But he can be a really mature Christian if he's been working. By the way, it does take time. You're not going to grow into maturity overnight. When you exercise muscles to become stronger, it doesn't happen overnight. I don't know how many of you know that. And the older you get, the harder it is. I'll guarantee you that. Is that right, Sarah? Yeah. It just gets harder and harder. But the more you do it, the more you exercise your spiritual senses, the more strength you're going to get spiritually, you see. The stronger you're going to get, the more mature you're going to get. And God can really use you. God can use a 20-year-old or an 18-year-old in a powerful way if he's mature. But you know, God can't even use a 60 or 70-year-old who's still a baby. That little baby, that was my dad's brother, he wasn't very useful. He was just a burden, basically. Are you a burden to those around you? Are you useful for the kingdom of God? Ask yourself that question. Let's pray. Father, we pray that you would just bless invitation time. Lord, we do want to grow to maturity. We know that it is a struggle. We know that it doesn't come easy, that there are trials along the way that are necessary to accomplish this. Help us, Lord, to have the right attitude about those things
and really be thankful that you have allowed affliction into our lives for that purpose. And Lord, I pray that you would just help us to all of us become mature Christians. That's one of my desires, big desire for this church, is that we all would become mature Christians. We thank you for it. Bless the invitation now, we pray. In Jesus' name, amen. Derek?